We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Is there a church in your community that seems to be a beacon light for the whole town? What's unique about that church? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the spiritual centers in our community, for those beacon lights where men and women can have their soul fed, and where they can leave spiritually refreshed to go about as a family man, as a person in the community, as a woman who's raising her children, to be people of God. Lord, we pray that through the word that you have given to us, we may be drawn closer to you, that together with other Christians, we may be that light to those who walk in darkness. Hear our prayer, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Goes only to Walmart.
Thank you.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the third chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, beginning with verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? We're only servants to whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than that, the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, it is always a thrill to take part in a 25th anniversary celebration for a church that has ministered well in a new community. Whether or not that is going to become a great church is yet to be seen. Looks pretty good right now. The people are coming in. Those are blessed with the preaching that is being done there and the teaching. And there's every reason to think that God is going to bless it and make it a great congregation. But time will only tell. Therefore, a greater thrill for me is to take part in the anniversary celebration of a church that has been a spiritual beacon light to its community for 100 years. Each year, that church grows stronger and stronger. It ministers to its members and to those outside of the church, whether it be in times of joy or times of sorrow. It rejoices with newlyweds and weeps with those who are mourning. It sends members into the places of leadership in the community, the state, and the nation with a strong spiritual witness for Jesus Christ. It is the church that has watched the sons and daughters of the congregation be united in holy matrimony and raise their newborn in the Christian faith. Now that's what I call a beacon light in any community. What made that congregation become a beacon light in its city or town? Let me tell you this. It is not necessarily the size of the congregation, nor the wealth of the congregation. For there are some who can boast membership rolls of way over the thousands, and they have large endowment funds. But at the same time, there are many empty pews except on special occasions. That kind of a congregation is often thought of as a place to go once in a while for special things. Well, St. Paul can help us answer some of our questions today. He begins by drawing an agricultural picture. In verses 5 to 9 of our text, which has been read for you, Paul says, you know what? In establishing the church here, I planted the seed. And then sometime later, there was a man by the name of Apollos, who was a very, very scholarly individual who came along, and he watered the seed. Now, they had the same purpose in mind. There was only one purpose, and that was to bring the people to faith in Jesus Christ. Within the congregation, there were some who liked Paul. There were others who liked Cephas or Apollos or whoever else it might have been that ministered there with those people. It did not matter to them which one was liked the most, just that the gospel of Jesus Christ had been heard. Now, what was that seed that Paul was talking about? It was a gospel. It was a word of God where people came and heard very clearly on any given Sunday that God had created them, but they had fallen into sin. And as a result of that, God could have nothing to do with their person, for he can have nothing to do with sin. But he sent into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ suffered and died as a payment for that sin. Now then, through faith in Christ, by trusting him, by receiving him into their hearts, they were restored into fellowship with God. And as a result of that, they were saved, and they were on their way to heaven, there to live with God forever. That was the seed that Paul planted. And that was a seed that Apollos watered. And that was a seed through which the Holy Spirit spoke, and individuals were converted, and the church grew, both in number and also in inner strength. It was a beacon light in the city of Corinth because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Around there, the people knew it as such. They could go to that church, and there they would be fed with the biblical truths. Now, Paul uses another picture. This time, it's not the agricultural picture, but the architectural picture. And here he says in verse 10 of our text, you know, I have laid a foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Same old gospel, same old story. You're going to build a church. It's got to be built on Jesus Christ, so he is the foundation. Then Paul says, someone comes after me, and someone uses gold in the building, and others silver or costly stones, and then some come with wood and hay and straw. Nobody is going to know until the end how things were going in that church. But give it a number of years, and you would see if that church had been built in such a way that it had become a beacon light in the community. The church's foundation is Jesus Christ. There's no question about it. Those teachers who came afterwards had to build on their foundation. Now, if they built, symbolically speaking, with what Paul talks of here as gold and silver and precious metals, then it was going to really stand. That's the gospel. And the people who were in that church would grow and grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then there could be some who would come, and they would not do very well. They would kind of weaken the gospel. They would question the gospel. And there was a weak period. And if you got too many of those weak periods, then all of a sudden, the church was no longer the beacon light. People began to say, I don't know what happened to that congregation, but it was a place where I used to like to go. But when I go there now, there's absolutely no message. And that's because the Word of God had been left or had been compromised, and people didn't want a place where there was a compromise. Now, I know it's a very homely illustration, but occasionally I will get back to my hometown on the East Coast, and when I do that, there's one particular place I want to eat. That is a place that specializes in seafood. When I go to Maine, I don't care to eat beefsteak. I can do that in Iowa where I live. But out on that coast, where you can smell the ocean, here is this restaurant. I have never been into that place, but what I had a wonderful, delicious meal. See what it is? It gets a name. The church, I again say it's a homely illustration. The church can be likened to it. If somebody can only say, when I really am down, I have to go to that church, for there my soul is fed. I hear the gospel. I know what God has in store for me. That's what it is, and it's consistency. Not just a Sunday, and then it may be three before you really hear it again, but a consistency that is always there, pointing men and women to Jesus Christ, who is their strength and their source of comfort. Then Paul goes on in verse 8, and he is anxious to say to the people that, I've got a warning for you here now, and you better take heed. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. What is taught here in this portion of God's Word is quite clear, that those of us who are teachers of the Word of God, we have a tremendous responsibility. For what we teach is either going to build up that church or it is going to destroy it. Listen to what our great helper in these passages of God's Word has to say. I refer to John Stott. He writes in this portion, Paul issues a solemn warning here to all Christian teachers. The Christian teaching ministry is of the greatest importance because it is designed to build up the church. If what we teach is true, biblical, and balanced, we shall be adding a valuable building to the foundation, and it will last. If, however, our teaching is unbiblical, the wisdom of the world, then we are adding a ramshackle superstructure that will not survive. Thus, what we teach will bless or harm the church, not only for time, but also for all eternity. Now, that's a strong word for those of us who teach, and I am referring to the pastors, but I'm also referring to many of you lay people who are doing considerable amount of teaching in our day. The Sunday school teacher, you have a tremendous responsibility, and according to what St. Paul is saying here, one day we'll have to give account before Almighty God as to how we did that laborious task, but that great privilege of being in his kingdom. So the teacher then of the Word of God has to be very careful what comes from his mouth and from his behavior, for what he does can determine whether or not that church is really a beacon light in the community. So the teacher is mentioned here, But I would like to add one more thing, and that is that the church, the people who sit in the pew, also have a tremendously important part to play. I have often said to the congregation, while I was standing there, you have to guard the pulpit. You have to make sure that what I'm saying is true to the Word of God. And it was not just once in a while that somebody would come in and say, there's something that you said in your sermon that disturbs me just a little bit. Is this really according to the Word of God? And so we'd talk about it. I loved those calls, for I knew that those people were listening, and they wanted what was said from that pulpit to be true, true to the Word of God. It is tremendously easy today, people, to stray away from the Word of God. It is easy to put another interpretation on some of these passages in God's Word that are not necessarily crystal clear as others are, and then say, well, this is just the different interpretations that we have, and this one fits in very well as far as our culture is concerned. The preaching and the teaching has to be evaluated. Is it according to God's Word? Is Jesus Christ being lifted up? It is so sad sometimes when people begin to talk about the preacher and they say, well, he's got such a beautiful voice. And it's marvelous, and it certainly helps. But what does he say? Or he's a wonderful communicator. He knows how to take words and just to put those truths right into the depths of your soul. That's fine. But are the truths that are coming from the Word of God? Or the preacher preaches without notes? Now, I seldom used any notes. I'd gone over that sermon so many times that I could have just as well left the notes back in my study. They might have been with me in the pulpit, but I seldom referred to them. That was not the important thing. What was he saying? This is not a declamatory event that's going on. Here we have come, if we're going to be a part of a beacon light church, to hear the message, and the message has got to come from the Word of God. One of the great temptations of our day, and obviously that has come because of television and its entertainment, is that we try to entertain in the church. The church is not a place to entertain. We are sometimes guilty of a false teaching. Like I've just made reference to, if we need to interpret that word in such a way that it gets a better hearing from the people and it's according to our culture, we'll then do that. No. It's ridiculous sometimes the demands that are put upon pastors. They're supposed to be all things to all people, and no one can be. But there is one requirement that every congregation can expect from the pastor, and that is that he or she is faithful to the Word of God. Well, what if you're a person who's asking the question, what makes that church a beacon light? The answer, my friend, is this. It is faithful preaching of the Word of God. Look around for your church and worship there, but don't be in any hurry deciding where you want to go. Take a while and see if every Sunday morning you will find God's Word being proclaimed. Amen.
My Jesus. Say.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word that is so clear. We pray, Father, that it may be a word that comes from the teaching corners of the congregation and from the pulpit on a Sunday morning, and that people may know that if they want to hear what the Bible has to say, that's the place to go. Bless our churches to that end. We ask it in your holy name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. An honorarium gift is a gift in honor of someone special who is living. These honorarium gifts are most often given in honor of birthdays and anniversaries. However, any special day in the life of a loved one can be honored with a gift. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is ChristianCrusaders.org. That's ChristianCrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Reverend Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. You can also listen to this week's service anytime on the Internet. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 42 years.